Let's continue reading verses 24 through 27 of Genesis 1. Now, in these verses, we have the work of God on the sixth day of creation week, including the formation of the land animals and the crowning work of creation week, the creation of man. Genesis 1, beginning at verse 24. Then God said, "Let the earth bring forth the living creature according to its kind, cattle and creeping thing and beast of the earth, each according to its kind." And it was so. And God made the beast of the earth according to its kind, cattle according to its kind, and everything that creeps on the earth according to its kind. And God saw that it was good. Then God said, "Let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth." So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. Once again, let's begin now with some background notes for this section of the creation account. We believe the Bible teaches that creation week was a week of literal days. The days were of 24 hours duration, earth time. Now, this does require faith, but remember, we are talking about creation week. The natural laws of thermodynamics, for example, were not yet in effect. God was at work in the creation of matter and life. And here in the creation account of Genesis, God tells us that he did it all in one week. Psalm 33 in verse 6. "By the word of the Lord, the heavens were made, and all the host of them by the breath of his mouth." Verse 9. "For he spoke, and it was done. He commanded, and it stood fast." Yes, this requires faith, as we've seen in Hebrews 11 and verse 3. "By faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which are visible." And remember that the Lord said in Matthew 18 and verse 3 that those who are of faith must become as little children. Little children don't have a problem with a creation account. We must become like little children in matters of faith, not only for salvation, but even accepting many of these things in the Word of God, particularly when we've been so brainwashed by our secular culture. You know, I've had Christians tell me that God is so wonderful and powerful that they believe God could have created the whole world in a split second if he wanted to, and that they would believe this if God said so in the Bible. So far, so good. But then they turn around and accept some Christianized version of the Big Bang theory or some other geologic day-age theory. Wait a minute, something's wrong here. If they can believe that God could do it in a split second, if that's what he would say in the Bible, why don't they accept what God does say quite clearly in the Bible? That is, he did it in six literal days with mornings and evenings. Now, here's an interesting fact. If you were to consult the writings of unbelieving Hebrew scholars concerning this creation account, you would find that they believe the writer was trying to convey that God created this universe and everything in it in six literal days. They don't believe it, of course. They don't believe it's the truth because they are unbelievers. And they don't believe this is God's word. Some don't even believe in God. But they have no doubt that the writer, or writers as they would say, meant to convey that the universe came into being by creation, and creation week was six literal 24-hour days, not six geologic ages. Now that's something to think through, right? More we could say. Got to move on to our doctrinal teaching points. Doctrine or teaching point number one, God created plants and animals according to their kind. God created plants and animals according to their kind. Back in verse 12, we read, "And the earth brought forth grass, the herb that yields seed according to its kind, and the tree that yields fruit, whose seed is in itself, according to its kind. And in verse 21 we read, so God created great sea creatures and every living thing that moves, with which the waters abounded, according to their kind, and every winged bird according to its kind. And now in verses 24 and 25 we read, then God said, let the earth bring forth the living creature according to its kind, cattle and creeping thing and beast of the earth, each according to its kind. And it was so. And God made the beasts of the earth according to its kind, cattle according to its kind, and everything that creeps on the earth according to its kind. So plants and sea creatures and birds and insects and beasts were created according to their kind. In other words, God did not create every single variety of dog, for example, that we have today, but one or more dog kinds. And these basic kinds would have had a gene pool, that is, the genetic capability of producing all the varieties of dogs that we have today, such as terriers and collies and beagles. How many have a pet out there that I didn't name yet? Retrievers and German shepherds. We know, for example, that the German shepherd dog has been bred over the last couple hundred years. This, by the way, is not evolution. This is genetic variation. For evolution to take place, new genetic information must come into being. In genetic variation, you start with all the genetic material already present in the different kinds that God created. And then over time, you can get different varieties of plants and sea creatures and insects and birds and beasts, etc., etc., because the genetic capability is already there. So the well-known example of the peppered moth in your high school science textbooks is not an example of evolution, but genetic variation. How many know what I'm talking about here? Back in the time of the Industrial Revolution in England, they noticed that the peppered moth went from light-colored to dark-colored. The dark-colored moths were able to escape longer from their natural predators, because they were more camouflaged against the dark, soot-laden trees and buildings. Well, this was the survival of the fittest principle and adaptation to the environment principle. An example of evolution, right? No, wrong. This was genetic variation. No new genetic material was added. The peppered moths were still moths, and they are still moths today. You know, today, because the pollution has been cleared up, the light-colored moths are back. This is not evolution, this is genetic variation. In the original moth kind, or kinds that God created, there was a gene pool large enough for different varieties of moths, including dark-colored peppered moths and light-colored peppered moths. So God created plants and animals after their kind. Doctrinal point number two. God created man in his own image. God created man in his own image. Verses 26 and 27. Then God said, let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. Why did God say, let us make man in our own image, and not let me make man in my own image? Is this proof of the Trinity? No, it's not proof of the Trinity, but it certainly paves the way for the doctrine of the Trinity to be unfolded in the rest of Scripture. Most likely, the emphasis here in the let us is what's called the plurality of God's majesty. But it certainly opens the way, paves the way, for the doctrine of the Trinity to be fully developed in the rest of Scripture. Now, how is man created in the image of God? We don't believe this refers to anything physical, because John 4:24 says that God is spirit. We believe the image of God stamped upon man has to do with the spiritual side of man. This is what makes people different from animals. Animals were not created in the image of God, but man was. Animals have emotions and appetites and even personalities to a certain degree, but man has more. Man has a spiritual capacity. Now, all that's associated with the human spirit is hard to pin down precisely. But on the authority of Scripture, we can say for sure that God consciousness and moral consciousness are associated with the Spirit. Animals do not have these qualities, but people do. Man is not just a higher form of animal. He's unique. He's made in the image of God. Now, man's moral conscience may be dulled and seared, but it's there. Man has a sense of what's right and what's wrong. And man's consciousness of God may be distorted and may need to be awakened and even redirected away from idolatry, but it's there. And this is true of all people around the world. This is the way that God created man. He created him in his own image. Notice the end of verse 27. Male and female. He created them. Adam and Eve were both created in the image of God. Plants and animals were created after their kind, but man was created in the image of God. Practical application for this section. Do you have fellowship with God? Do you have fellowship with God? Why did God create man in his own image? One reason for sure was so that God could have fellowship with us. God does not have fellowship with rocks. God does not have fellowship with plants. God does not have fellowship with fish or birds or beasts or insects. But he can have fellowship with people because people have been created in the image of God. Do you have fellowship with God? If you're here this morning and you're not a Christian, then you don't have fellowship with God. You can have fellowship with God, but you don't yet have fellowship with God. You don't even have a relationship with God, let alone fellowship. You say, well, how can I have a relationship with God? How can I have fellowship with God? Answer, acknowledge your lost condition before God and accept Christ as your personal Savior. And you will not only receive salvation, and have a relationship with God, but you will have fellowship with God as well. Now, if you're here this morning as a Christian, but you're not walking with the Lord, let me assure you, you have not lost your salvation, but you need to have your fellowship with the Lord restored. You know, this is really the bottom line for joy in the Christian life. Listen to the words of 1 John chapter 1, verses 3 and 4. That which we have seen and heard, we declare to you, that you also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. And these things we write to you, that your joy may be full. Do you have joy in the Lord this morning? Do you have fellowship with God?